Take your Bibles out, if you will, again, Psalm 63, and your outline, if you would please take it out. Today, we're going to force you to take your outline out because it's a very important piece. It is a card stock for a reason, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. If you don't have a Bible right in front of you in the pew rack or right beneath your pew, if you're on the front row, should be an ESV. You can take that out and turn to page 329. How many of you are ready for the Word this morning? Good. Moses did it. David did it. All of Israel did it religiously. Ezra did it. Esther did it. Daniel did it famously. Most importantly, Jesus not only did this, but he taught us about how to do it and the way that we're to do it, to frame it. And that, of course, is the area of fasting. Now, being a Cubs fan, traditionally, I have fasted baseball every October that I can remember. But this October, I don't plan to fast baseball. But Israel's fasting typically fell on several of those seven feasts that line the calendar. And yet I've mentioned several individuals here, and there are so many in the Bible that when we read through God's Word, fasting was a very integral part of either a season of their life, a specific moment in their life, or on a typical regular basis again that they fasted. Then you come forward to the book of Acts, and we begin to follow the trail, the story of the early church, and we discover there that fasting was a very important part of at least one moment in the history of the church. If many of you recall, Acts chapter 13, if you look to the screen. While they were worshiping the Lord and, say it with me, fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. So see, in the atmosphere of prayer, but also fasting, in that atmosphere, God spoke. And this actually was a revolutionary moment for the early church. This is when Paul and Barnabas were sent out. And after that, we begin to see the apostles go out. But it was a very pivotal moment in the early church. And they were fasting as they prayed and worshiped. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus put it this way: when you fast, notice he didn't say if you fast, he said when you fast, don't look all somber and disfigure your face and let everybody know, oh, woe is me, I'm really sacrificing for the Lord. But instead, he said, but when you fast, second time, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, and when then that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So fasting to Jesus is a very personal thing between you and your Heavenly Father. And you say, well, then why do we call times of corporate fasting? Because it's a pattern in Scripture. The church was fasting in Acts. Israel fasted in the Old Testament. Many times the leaders of Israel called them to a corporate collective fast. So it's a pattern. And we notice here, as Jesus talked about it, expecting his audience to be those that fasted on a regular basis. But when they did, notice, he gave them instruction, and then he added those words, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And that's the reason we fast? Well, not exactly. But it's something we don't want to overlook this morning, that God rewards. There is something in the heart of God the Father that when we fast, he is watching and he looks for that. I think the reason for that obviously is that fasting is a real act of faith. If you've ever fasted, how many of you know that's an act of faith right there? Because it's not easy. And faith is something that moves the heart of God. Hebrews 11 verse 4. Because when we come to God, we have to believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek after him. Fasting is a great example of that. So it is an act of faith, and as well it is because it is just plain hard. Fasting is a denying of ourselves things that we enjoy, desire, sometimes need and require, and offering instead time and energy to God. How many of you here love food as much as I do? Let me see your hand. Yeah, the rest of you are lying through your hands, all right now. We love food, obviously. Statistics show that food is a powerful thing in our lives, both positive, but even as well, it can be negative. So the act of faith toward God, typically when it comes to fasting, it has to do with food, although some people fast technology. They might fast television years ago. Now they might fast their phones or Facebook or Instagram, whatever. They fast things that they tend to get where they're reliant upon that, and they give that up in order to seek God. And obviously physical hunger is one of the main areas of fasting. So why do we fast? Well, there are many, many reasons. The first main, though, reason is spiritual focus. As we'll look at today, spiritually it focuses you in a way that if you were simply going about your daily routines and daily schedules, if you're fasting, all of a sudden everything takes on a different spiritual dimension and focus for you. As well, God's direction. And we see that in Acts 13, and many people for centuries have practiced fasting at times when they needed direction from the Lord, and many times he'll give that. Specific breakthroughs. It may be a marriage, it may be finances, it may be a job, it may be whatever, relationship, but you are struggling in your life and something, and so you fast and pray, asking God to give you a breakthrough, and many times it's one of the wonderful ways that he provides that. And then corporate moments. Most moments as a nation, like our election that's about to take place, or when we just see that need to fast and pray as a church or as a nation or as a people, it might be a small group of people or whatever, but there's a moment of corporate fasting that everybody agrees, hey, let's fast together. I've chosen the 63rd Psalm, didn't plan to originally, but because it, in an amazing way, is almost like a template for us in the realm of fasting. I had a whole different direction in mind, and weeks ago I was reading through this psalm, and it just stood out to me, and I realized that it is a beautiful picture, and it will help aid us in the next 21 days of fasting. Before we dive into it, though, I want you to take your outline. I want you to turn it over and look on the back again. The purpose of our fasting, the types of fasts, and there are some helps that are there. You'll notice the bottom is blank, and that's because I'm going to ask you then to turn that over and look at the front now, but I would encourage you to remember what's on the back. You might want to refresh yourself, look at that beginning this afternoon, again tomorrow. But turn it back to the front, if you will, and everybody tear off the perforated bottom of that front. Everybody just go ahead and tear it off right now, and I want you to hold this in your hand over the next 3 hours as I speak to you, because I really have a lot to cover on the area of fasting. Just kidding. It won't be that long or painful. But I want you to hold this and be thinking about these three things, what you're committing to and what kind of a fast, your purpose of your fast, and the breakthroughs that you are looking for. Now, I realize some here have never fasted. So I would encourage you, don't go after it where you're going to go without any food for the next 21 days, all right? I would strongly urge you not to do that. If you've never fasted before, you may want to, say, fast a meal every day of the 21 days, or you might want to just fast on a couple of days in the week. However you want to approach it, this is not a competitive thing. It's nothing like that. Fasting, again, Jesus taught us, is between you and the Lord as to what you're committing to. Carl and I we had a lot of discussion about how we're approaching the next 21 days together. Some of you may want to just take a week and focus on this first week and see how you do in that first week. But I encourage you to all join us in this. And at the close of the service, we're going to fill this out and drop it in to the ushers. Notice it is anonymous. No names on this, because we're going to take these, and on Sunday nights, we're going to be praying with you for your breakthroughs, for what you're believing God for in your fast. So let's turn to Psalm 63 here quickly this morning. David is in the wilderness, or an uninhabited area of land. And the picture that we see here is then he's out there in essence alone, if you will. Now, we don't know if he is running from Saul in those early years of David's life. We don't know if he's running from his son Absalom during the coup that he tried to usurp his reign and authority over Israel as king. We don't know when this is. We surmise it might have been in one of those moments, but for some reason, David is out in the wilderness. We have the caption in most Bibles that explains that. And then we read verse number one, and it just all comes together. Let's read the text together, if you will. Verse number one. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. What a picture right there of fasting. As in a dry and a weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. How many of you started drooling right there, all right? Fat and rich food, just sounds good. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, that's every 3 hours at moments that David would reflect on God, he's saying. For you've been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stop. Now, taking this as a framework, there are three words that just come out to me: passion, focus, and breakthrough. Would you say that with me today? Passion, focus, and breakthrough. If you're thinking fasting and prayer, these three words have to be a part of it. A passion in your fasting after God. A focus of why you're fasting, and especially upon God. And then for breakthrough again. And we see all three of these here in Psalm 63. David is obviously passionate for the Lord here. I mean, just the opening verse, verse number one, but throughout the entire text. And while he is out there somewhere in the wilderness, he is away from playing his harp for King Saul and bringing a soothing ministry to Saul. He is obviously away from Bethlehem where his brothers and his dad Jesse are. He's obviously away from the palace. If at this point he's king and he's already living in that beautiful palace that he built, he is away from all of that. He is out there somewhere, but obviously he is with God. And that's a picture of fasting. There's a spiritual hunger in David. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh, N-I-L-T says, my entire body longs for you or faints for you as in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. A key aspect of fasting is passion. It's a desire, a spiritual hunger. And David looks around in the midst of this, and notice, it's fascinating to me. And when I began to capture this, I realized that he is bringing two things that typically are against one another in Scripture. He's looking at two things that many times are at odds with one another. He says, my soul is desiring you, and my body, my flesh, is fainting for you. Typically, the soul or spirit and body, again, are at odds. But David says they have both come together to want you, God. That's the picture of a fast. How many of you know that gratefully, thankfully, we tend to eat when we want to in America? Let me see your hand. Aren't we blessed, huh? We're so blessed. Matter of fact, the middle of your day, anytime you want to, in almost any town, the smallest little town in America, you can just get in the car and run over to a store. Anytime in a city, they're everywhere, come and go, 7-Eleven, Circle K's, wherever you live, there they are. Anytime you want, it seems, we can fulfill, we can satisfy a desire that we have. How many of you like the Snickers commercials, right? I mean, how many know it's really rough when you get hungry till you get that filled, right? Carla has a few meals, I'd say about the top five. They make me weep every time I smell them walking in the door. But I'm just kidding. But you know, but I love food, just like you love food. And there are certain meals she knows when she's preparing that meal, man, I'm ready for that, and I so enjoy that. And not long ago, we were FaceTiming with our daughter Whitney, and she was feeding little Nash, who's a little over a year now, and he was in his high chair, and he was just moaning and mmming and groaning as he ate, and she said, he's just like his papa. But it's something that our family pointed out to us, that my brother and I mentioned this not long ago, but Randall and I were eating, I think it was a Christmas meal a few years ago, and the family brought up something, we didn't even realize it, but when we eat together, my brother and I tend to moan together, groan together, together, you know, talk about the meal, isn't that good? We go through every part of the meal from the vegetables to the meat to whatever, and we all the way the dessert, and the family, they get sick of it actually, they really do. But they brought up, I didn't even realize we did, and we do that. So I've tried to curb that a little bit, but I'm proud of Nash. He's following in my footsteps. That's good. David expresses an appetite for God. I am longing, desiring, I'm hungry for you, God. But he says it's both in soul and it's in body. How can our bodies have a passion for God? That's what fasting does for us. It requires us to die to the basic needs of our human flesh that in turn, it turns toward God. As a matter of fact, fasting is one of the beautiful ways that you can fulfill Paul's command in Romans 12. Chapter 12, verse 1, remember? I urge you, brothers, in view of the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Many times you will feel like you are dying when you fast. It is because it's an offering of your body. And as David expresses this, it's an aspect to where we are turning from that we so desire. Matter of fact, Dan Allender put it this way. He said, fasting is that bulimic act of, hear this, ridding ourselves of our fullness to attune our senses to the mysteries that swirl in and around us. We're letting go of being full so that we can really focus and see what God wants us to see. One quote that I have there in your outline, and I'd encourage you to hang on to it throughout these next couple of weeks. Put it in your Bible. By fasting, the body learns to obey the soul. By fasting, our body subjects itself to our spiritual nature. So David here occupies himself, soul and body, with the Lord. A.W. Tozer called worship a preoccupation with God. And that's what we're after. Verse number 2, I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. David in the wilderness is reflecting back. There is a worshipful reflection here. David is alone, but he's remembering the tabernacle. He is remembering where he worshiped God. He is remembering where he saw the power and the glory of God. It was at the tabernacle that David established a whole new form of music in Israel. They worshiped like never before. Bring out the orchestra, bring out the new songs. And David wrote new songs, and the orchestra played, and everyone rejoiced. That was new in David's day. David ushered in that worship. And as we look at it here, he's reflecting back to that, and that's where our hearts need to go while we fast and pray. Hear me today, it's more than just self-denial for a season. And it's certainly more than a diet. Don't do this in order to diet and just lose some weight. That's different. This is where you are occupying yourself with God. And when you fast, if you don't replace God for what you are giving up, you will just end up probably going ahead and eating or doing whatever it is that you're sacrificing to the Lord. So you have to add what in? Prayer. That's why we fast and pray. You have to add in worship. You have to add into those moments, and when you feel weak, to go after it. It's fasting and it's prayer. Another aspect verses 3 and 4 bring out is very, I think, fascinating. But whenever we fast, it will lead us many times to a realignment of our life's perspective. The way we see life, look at how David says it. Because your love, your steadfast love, the word hased in the Hebrew, because your hased is so good and so rich, it is better to me than life itself. Because of your steadfast love, it's better than television. It's better than my phone. It's better than social media. It's better than a steak or Andes or pineapple whip. It's better than any of that. Because of that, my lips will praise you. Verse 4, so I will bless you, what? As long as I live. David's getting a little bit reflective here about life. And because, God, your love is better than life, I'm going to praise you. I will praise you as long as I have air in my lungs, he says. I'm going to praise you and lift up my hands. Seriously, when's the last time you said, God, you are more important to me than life itself? When's the last time you said, God, you are more important to me than meat that I eat? Steak and steak and more steak. How many love steak? Or chicken, or fish, whatever it is. God, you are more important to me than the platter that's laid before me 2-3 times a day. God, you are more important to me. See, Ol Housby put it this way. The purpose of fasting is to loosen to some degree the ties that bind us to the world of material things and our surroundings as a whole, in order that we may concentrate all of our spiritual powers upon the unseen and eternal things. So there's a realigning here that fasting helps us, that we focus less on the physical, or even as we are focusing on the physical, we press through and we make sure then to focus on the spiritual. So passion is very important, but also focus is. Like few things in life, if you fast and pray, your focus will become more upon God and spiritual things. Because realize, we live life focused every day. Probably focus on dozens of things in a single day. You might wake up sometimes on a day off or whatever, and you have one main focus, it's working in the yard or whatever, and you've got that focus and that goal. Fasting and prayer is to focus you towards spiritual things. Look at verse 5. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. Again, he's bringing up the soul and the belly. But we're not nourishing the belly now. We're nourishing the soul. It's a spiritual satisfaction that David has right now. And it's not in eating a good meal. It's not in enjoying. And imagine, as king, if this was when he was king, he obviously just had everything that he would have wanted right at his disposal. But he says, it's my soul that is eating right now. Fasting is like a banquet for the soul. It's where your soul receives nourishment like not in normal times. What do we need to do then? Verse 5 and 7. My mouth again will praise you with joyful lips, and in the shadow of your wings, verse 7, I will sing for joy. Part of fasting is your worship, your praise, your singing, and it's to be joyful. But how many know joy isn't easy when you're not eating? Right? Joy's not easy whenever you're lacking something that you crave and you desire, and yet it's to be joyful. First few days off caffeine, how many know you feel like you're going to die? Can't make it through the day. It shows we're so dependent upon that caffeine. As for me, I'm a sugar lover. I love sugar. I love ice cream. I eat it a certain way. I'll give you the secret later. But I love cookies and milk. And I always tend to kind of do really good till night, and then I think I'm going to sleep it off. And how many know that's a foolish thing? But you know what? You lay off sugar for about 3, 4, 5 days, your body's going to tell you, I'm missing that sugar that you always put in. Because there's a chemical reaction. So obviously, it's not fun. So what happens? Toxins begin to be released. Literally, poisons are leaving you as you cut out sugars and caffeines and meats and all of this for a while. Whatever it is that you go after. So what am I supposed to do? Grind it out. That's what you're supposed to do. Let it happen. Just go for it. Matter of fact, as I recommended, I would so recommend it in this time of fasting that you have a partner, whether it be your spouse, or if you're a guy, have another guy. If it's a gal, have another gal that's a good friend in the Lord. And just kind of hang on with one another, because you know what will happen? You will drive by Andy's and that rotating sign will become like a vortex that sucks you right in, okay? So you better have it on speed dial. You better have it on your favorites on your phone. Someone to call in those weak moments and say, hey, I need prayer right now because I'm determined I want to fast and I want to pray. Why? Because the physical nature is very connected to the emotional nature. Just Google it, as I did this week, emotional eating, and you will just, there it is. There's so much on it. Why? Because our physical nature is so connected to our emotional nature, which is so connected to our spiritual nature. So I assure you, you will have times, if you fast for 1 week, if you make the 21 days with us, you'll have times you're going to be low. You'll have snicker moments, but don't put a snicker in your mouth. Put God in your mouth. Could I hear any man this morning? That's what it's all about, see? And that's what he does. With joyful lips, I'm going to praise you. In the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. Joy carries emotion. There will be joy in the Lord, and that's what you've got to lean on rather than turning to whatever it is that you're fasting. And notice David, out in the wilderness, he says, in the shadow of your wings, I'm going to praise you and sing for you. In other words, David is keenly aware of the presence of God. And everyone hear me, that is one of the benefits of fasting. Is that as you seek God, as you offer up whatever it is, and you in turn, in place of that, you worship God, you follow God, you seek after him, I'm telling you, he shows up. And you will feel his presence, I promise you that today, as you seek after him, in the shadow of his wings. And then verses 6 and 7, meditative reflection. He says, when I remember you upon my bed, and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help. As I looked at this, I wondered, how many times does David mention his bed in the book of Psalms? I knew it was a lot of times, and there are many, but four in particular, he mentions his bed as being a place that he reflects upon God. Now, some of you may do this, some of you maybe you've never done this, but here's a time to practice that. You may wake up because your stomach is going to growl really loud if you fast seriously. And so you may wake up in the middle of the night. David says, as I'm out here in this wilderness, and I'm just basically alone, I'm sure he had some with him, but as I'm out here, God, and I'm just enjoying your presence, he says, on my bed I lay there, and I meditate, and at the certain times of the night, the watches of the night, I worship you, and I think about you. That's a great practice to begin in this fast. Just plan to do that. Why don't you start your night out beside the bed, kneel and pray before you get into bed? And then in the morning when you get up, after that night's rest, why don't you make it the first thing you do? Kneel down again and pray and start your day on your knees. Let your bed be a place of reflection and other aspects of this season of fasting. Verse number 8, it leads us to humble reliance. This focus leads you to a reliance upon God. Look at those words. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. What a beautiful verse. Many of us know in football what a shoestring tackle is. And I know I spent times in my life, as big as I am, that sometimes I had a guy's leg, I had his ankle, I had his foot, and he dragged me a few more yards before someone else piled on. We've all watched that. That's a picture of clinging. It's a picture of just getting hold of him and not letting go. That's what David said he's doing here. My soul is clinging to you, God. And your right hand is what? It's upholding David out in the middle of the desert. And see, again, David in the wilderness is there probably out of obligation, or he needs to be there. It's by requirement for his safety or for his life. But for us, we are choosing to go to a place where our soul is going to cling after God. And you know what he'll do? He will lift you up. You ever been in a place in your life where you kind of just wanted to turn away from everybody, whatever the circumstances were? You just kind of wanted to be alone many times. I think we all have those seasons. That's a picture here of fasting. It's that you are separating yourself out. You are having more times alone with God than normal. And I promise you, the reality of his presence will be there, but you'll sense a dependence upon God more than if you didn't fast. And that's why it has to be so intentional. Third, we'll move to the breakthroughs. The breakthrough that's here. It might be something physical. It might be a serious need. It may be a relational situation, a marriage, a decision you've got to make. It just might be that you feel kind of dry spiritually, and it's been a long time since you felt, like David says in verse 5, that his soul feels like it's just had a wonderful meal. Maybe you're there. Fasting and prayer will help you have a breakthrough with God and his presence and drawing close to him. See, David says it in verse 9, and this is vintage David talking about the nations typically around him, those pagan nations around and their armies. But those who seek to destroy my life will go down to the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. Bottom line is, his enemies will be defeated. And the desire of my heart for all of us here, collectively and individually, is that you will see breakthroughs. You will see victories won during this fast. As I close, let me make it very clear today. Understand and think of it in this way. If there is one thing that the enemy of your soul does not want you to do, it's that you draw closer to Jesus. Matter of fact, he'll try to distract you. He'll try to do all he can do to keep you from. But if you choose to go after him passionately in a prayer and a fast with God, and you choose to go after him and meditate upon him and worship him and to set aside something that you long for, that you desire, that you hunger for, and instead say, God, instead, I'm going after you. Can you imagine what that does to the enemy of your souls? So Satan, if anything, he is not happy when we fast and pray. But Jesus on one occasion said, these demons don't come out except for prayer and for fasting. And so we believe God for breakthroughs as we move into this. If you just want to focus upon our nation, wonderful. Make that your primary focus, that's awesome. We need God in America today. This election is an important election. There are future ramifications of this election. We need to be seeking God for his will and his wisdom in this election. It might be the church. It might be your family. It might be prodigals. It might be your own marriage or relationship. But whatever it is, that you go after it in the expectation that the enemy is going to lose and victory is going to be yours through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So then verse 11. 21 days later, what is left but joyful gratitude? The king shall rejoice in God. The king shall rejoice in God. I would encourage you, and I believe with all my heart, to join us for the 21 days. And however you want to structure it, again, you can do it any way that you want to go and where you say, this is a sacrifice for me. Carl and I went to Sam's Club yesterday because of our plan, and we bought things we don't normally buy, and certainly not in the bulk that we bought. It's because we're focusing, and we have our plan, and we're believing God for something great in our lives, and in this church's life, and for our nation. So what I want to encourage you to do now, if you will, is take out this little card, and the ushers are going to be at the door here in just a moment. Literally, we are going to close in prayer in just a minute and just release you and encourage you to come back for prayer tonight. Or else see you Wednesday night, or we'll see you next Sunday morning. But tomorrow morning is the day. Let's start this fast together. Again, I might mention a technology fast. For some of you, say that is so weak. Not when it's so important that we die when we lose our phone for 5 minutes, okay? And many of us know what that's like. You may want to say, I'm going to set aside this part of technology in my life, and it's going to be a sacrifice. That's good. That'll be good. You'll die, but it's good. It's good. And you'll draw closer to the Lord. So I'm going to encourage you quickly. I commit to what kind of a fast? Do you have in mind what it is? If you don't, I would encourage you, even as we might leave in a moment, to sit for just a moment, work your way through it. Okay, what can I do? If you haven't been here the last few weeks or you weren't listening the last few weeks, we've been talking about this now. I encourage you in the back of your outline, maybe you hang on to this outline. I'd encourage you to pray through Psalm 63. Maybe every day of this fast, just pray through it because it's just really a great picture for us of a fast. Second thing to fill in is what you're focusing on. Here's my focus. The purpose that I'm going after in this fast is this, whatever it might be, and it might be nation, family, church, whatever it is. And then the third, I'm believing God for these breakthroughs. And don't put your name on this, please, so that we can just anonymously on Sunday evenings pray for you, and we'll do it. And if we can get him back tonight, we'll start tonight. If not, it'll be next Sunday. And the one after that, we will be praying with you for your fast. Possibly on Wednesday night, we'll be able to hand him around the tables. But we'll pray for you and with you. How many believe if we draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto us? Amen? Amen. Might just be sugar. Just cut out sugar. Great. Might be caffeine. Might be to give up coffee. Oh my goodness. I'll pray for some of you in that. But to do it for God, because you want to draw close to him. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Ushers, would you move to the doors, if you will? And we're going to close in prayer. I'm going to invite you just to drop this off with the usher as you leave. Lord, give us strength in these next 21 days. What a privilege we have, God. And we read David's words 3,000 years ago. He wrote, "Oh God, you are my God." We can say the same thing. Our soul thirsts for you. Our bodies long for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. We have seen you in the sanctuary, beheld your power and your glory. Your loving kindness is better than life to us. So we will sing our songs with our lips, lift our hands in praise to you, God. What a great psalm. What a picture of the next few weeks for us, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would strengthen the resolve within us and that, Lord, you would meet us, everyone here, that you'll meet us in this time of fasting. Whatever it is, God. Some I know already are planning a very intense fast. For others, Lord, it may just kind of be a first time at this, Lord. I pray that you will help all, and the God above all, that as we draw close to you, we'll sense you drawing close to us. Give us strength. And in this first day, starting tomorrow and Tuesday, Wednesday, God, help us. May we team up and buddy up on this thing. But Lord, above all, I pray that our souls will cling to you, and that you will lift us up, uphold us in the palm of your hand. We do this, God, for you. We do this because we not only want to pray, but we want to pray with greater fervor and power and effectiveness, and we believe you for it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me now? I'm going to invite you to pray with me the Lord's Prayer that he gave us, and that'll be our close, our benediction this morning. Would you pray with me? Everyone together, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you as you go today. Have a great week. Go for it. Let's have a great week of fasting and prayer. Bless you.